I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Here we go.
Go get it.
Let's go.
That's it.
It's time for the unrivaled NFL Roundup. Premium grade A NFL news from a former NFL quarterback. The other guy on 97.5 1280 The Zone, powered by KSLSports.com.
Welcome back. It's 97.5 1280 The Zone, The Zone Sports Network, NFL Roundup. Right here on Unrivaled, Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. He's the former NFL quarterback, in case you're wondering. NFL Roundup brought to you by LHM Used Car Supermarket. Over 1,000 used vehicles in inventory. Shop online, lhmusedcars.com. You said it yesterday, Scott. I'd be surprised if Dak Prescott doesn't get fined for what he said about the referee or about what he said about the refs, because there was trashes getting thrown onto the field when the Cowboys were running into the locker room. And he said, you know, that's low class. It's that's ridiculous. And then they said, no. They were throwing it at the fans. And I don't remember what the exact quote was. It was basically like, oh, good for them. They know, you know, they see how we did. And yesterday he did the backpedal. Oh, I should have never said the things that I said. These referees, they work hard. It was a stupid in the moment. You know, write it down for all the stuff that your PR firm says you have to say as an apology. And he did it. Doesn't matter. Got fined $25,000 today by the league. You knew that the league wasn't going to let this thing fly.
The league isn't going to let it fly, but that's not the issue. The issue is Dak Prescott needs to understand this better. You're going to attract flies with honey more than you are with whatever, right?
Doo-doo?
Yeah.
Okay.
I guess. Well, they stick.
They like doo-doo,
but they just don't stick as well.
They like the doo-doo, too. Yeah.
You can manipulate the officials. You can. And Tom Brady
says he does.
I know. And they're human beings. Okay, that they are susceptible to failing just like anyone else. And so you know you're going to get calls that don't make a lot of sense sometimes and don't go your way. How you respond to it, how you interact with the officials is very important. And when you're a person like Dak Prescott who has, you know, he's a well-known player in the NFL, the officials come in and they're fan boy or girl, because they're female officials now. They're like, man, I'm reffing a
game there's guys
with,
who don't like
Tom Brady.
And there are guys who don't like Tom Brady, maybe. Or maybe they said something to him and they get away.
Not officials, but look, I learned when I was a player that I treated them, you know, with a lot of respect and to the point of being a little bit sappy. And I was like, I don't care.
Now, crying?
No, I was like, man, that is a great call right there. You guys are doing an amazing job today. You know, appreciate all the work you guys do for us.
I know the patronizing quarterback.
I know you got a tough job. I get it. I know it's a tough deal, and
you're
I know
you're talking to him like he's the help at the stadium, like he's picking up your garbage in the locker room.
He is the help at the stadium. His job is vital. Think of how much power an official yields, because so much of the call
you're waiting on those calls
is subjective. Holding subjective. It's not. It's like,
does it take a couple of times?
Pass
of you
interference
going,
is subjective. Pass roughing the passer is subjective.
Did it take a couple of times of you going, hey, they're holding our tight end, man? Did it take a couple of times, and then they start looking at it, or what?
No, that's the conversation. You say, hey, look,
just take a look. Just keep your eyes.
It looked
open.
Like that situation right there. He might have been held a little.
So
bit.
You couldn't just straight up say, hey. Like,
I would not swear at them.
Time.
I would not tell them
Tom
they
Brady
were
says,
an idiot and
Tom
stupid
Tom Brady
and dumb.
Says that he gets after these refs. In fact, he gets pretty aggressive in the way that he talks to these referees and says, and he admitted in an article this week that he gets away with talking smack to the refs and talking back to the refs. Quote, I'm kind of a pain in there. So, I mean, he straight up says it. Those biases are there. He says he gets away with it. There's a perception around the football league. This is one of those interviews with Jim Gray. There's a perception around the league that you get treated a little bit differently, that you're able to get away with more when it comes to talking to the refs about calls or not getting calls. And he said, yeah, absolutely. I do know that the officials probably let me get away with a lot more unsportsmanlike conducts.
I don't know if it's
aggressive. Unsportsmanlike conducts are nothing to mess with.
Yeah.
Talking smack to the other team and talking smack to the refs when I don't think I get the right call, I'm kind of a pain in their butt, but if you already didn't know that, if that's what he's saying. He knows he's a pain in the butt.
Yeah, but
I
think Tom Brady's a smart guy though. I mean,
he knows what the edge is.
Yeah.
But his edge is further than you know, Jalen Hurts.
Oh, yeah. Jalen Hurts has no edge.
No edge. No, these refs go, no. I barely have heard of you.
If you breathe the wrong way, you're getting a bad. Don't even look at me a little cross-eyed. Don't even like widen your eyes or roll your eyes or do
anything.
Excuse
me? Right.
In fact, don't even look at me straight in the eyes. Just avert your gaze from me.
What I've learned about Tom Brady that I don't think I knew the first, the first 20 years of his career. What I didn't know the first, maybe until the last handful of seasons, I didn't know how salty he was. On the field, the guy is absolutely sour. If he doesn't get those calls, he is in the ref's ears. He's been over at the other sidelines dropping F-bombs on the other team's sidelines and their coaches before.
Look, it's how he gets his edge.
He absolutely is an insane competitor. Like, he is absolutely salty. He thinks he's not getting calls in games. He's grumpy at the refs during the game if he's not getting those calls. He's dropping the F-bomb on the coach or on the other sideline if they're coming at him. He's giving it right back. It's like you watch him play, and I get it. I mean, it's funny. He's one of those guys. Next up on the NFL roundup here, Scott. Mike McCarthy says he has confidence in himself to be able to win as an NFL head coach. Uh-oh. Those are famous last words, Scott. Those are like the worst things to say.
I don't know why people
have
to.
I'm pretty good, man.
It's just like, why do you have to convince people of this? Why do you even have to say it?
I mean, this whole last week.
Like, you wouldn't even get a job. You wouldn't even get hired if they thought, no, I don't believe I can win.
This whole last week.
Please hire me and pay me millions of dollars every year. Come on.
This whole last weekend after they lost. He's been going up and down.
That's somebody who's not secure. He's not secure.
He's the Cowboys head coach.
I don't care.
Of course he's not. Of course he's not secure. Jerry Jones is your boss. You'll never feel secure.
Jerry Jones is not a difficult guy to be around.
Case in point, Jason Garrett had a job forever.
He's actually pretty patient about things. Jerry Jones is not an owner that I go, oh, I'm concerned about that.
I think Mike McCarthy's biggest problem is he has been critical about everybody else. He starts to point at other things. The referee made this bad call. The one yesterday, did you see the one yesterday was? Our players, I could sense it during the pregame prayer. Did you hear what he said? I could sense in the pregame prayer they were way more nervous than I'd seen them in other games this year, and that got to him. And I'm thinking, you can't put all this on everybody else. The players are too nervous. The refs didn't make the right call at the end there. I had it all figured out, but the players didn't play well. The refs didn't call the game well. I'm not the problem. I have confidence in myself as an NFL head coach. Uh-huh. Famous last words.
Sounds like a lot of excuses.
Sounds like a lot of stuff. Those are all the things that are going to get you fired.
You know, I just figured something out.
What do you got?
Jim Harbaugh actually could go back to the NFL. And I'll tell you why. I don't think he wants to. I think there are some coaches like Nick Saban, Urban Meyer. I think they go, I'd rather be in college. I'd rather be in college for one reason. I can control everything. I can control the players that I get in, and I don't have to, you know, I don't have to hope that we draft the right guy. And I hope that we have this budget, and so we can only get so many guys here. Where in college, man, they get everybody. They get the best player. You know, it's a better deal for these guys in college, much more control. The problem that I think they're running into, and I think this is the challenge for Nick Saban, I think it's why he hates everything today, is NIL and the transfer portal. It's turned college football into professional football. Now, maybe you can still get the players, but you certainly don't have the same control over the players that you have or even really get. That you once had. And it really is becoming a much more of a professional model. And if that's the case, maybe it's a better spot for Jim Harbaugh to go back to the NFL.
I saw something yesterday that was posted up. Somebody posted a video, and actually you were in it. It was the 1990, I want to say the 96 or 97 quarterback challenge.
Oh.
And it was the distance competition. And I didn't see how it ended up, but they were like, Dan Marino's in it, Steve Young, Drew Bledsoe, Scott Mitchell, Neil O'Donnell, Kerry Collins, Jeff Hostetler, the Haas with that mustache, man. Rick Meyer was in it. Hey, Jeff Blake. Okay. And they were like, bring this back. And it was the distance competition. And they were like, what? Okay, the quarterback challenge is one thing. But the distance one, I want to see where Patrick Mahomes lines up. I want to see where these cannons of arms that are, you know, supposed to be nowadays line up against everybody else. The best throw in the history of the quarterback challenge was who? Do you remember? 1988.
I'm going to say Randall Cunningham, probably, or it was either him or Jay Schrader.
Vinny Testaverde.
Oh, really?
82 yards.
Yeah.
And that was... Man, that was – I mean, that's something we got to bring back. Apparently, they've been doing it up till through 2007.
I don't like the longest throw.
It feels like
– Nobody
– You would have loved it if you –
Nobody throws the ball 82 yards, ever.
Well, no, of course not.
Maybe in the Hail Mary at the end of a game.
But you know who always did well in the
– Favre could throw.
Favre was always over 70-something.
The problem is there's an accuracy thing with it.
Yeah, you got to be inside those lines.
It's
yes.
It's the longest drive deal. You know, you got to keep it in the fairway.
It was kind of a narrow field.
Keep it in the fairway. He couldn't keep it in the fairway.
So, yeah, Vinny Testaverde. And
just thinking about that right now makes my arm ache. I like it. I like the read and recognition one.
The ones with the golf carts.
Wow, that was a fun one.
That's when you shined. That's when you were hitting the old – I always love that because they're going to put the chalk on the front of the ball here, Bill, so we can see where it hits on the target on the golf cart. I was like, all these things, this is the most – people in third world countries look at this video and they go, what is going on here? These motorized carts are driving around with targets on them. These men are throwing leather footballs at them, and they've got paint on the front of them. Yeah. Brett Favre is over 75 yards a couple of times. Jeff George, he always had a big cannon of an arm, 74 yards. Drew Bledsoe, 74 yards. So those are the – and Cordell Stewart, 76 yards. So it's 82 yards from Randall Cunningham, 76. Vinny Testaverde, 82.
Randall might have had the strongest arm, though.
And then he had a handful of guys who were in the mid-70s. Yeah, Cordell Stewart, Drew Bledsoe. Steve McNair was even 72 yards, so there you go. All right, I'm taking the break here. We'll come back. We've got our two-minute drill around the corner here, Scott, so let's jump in here. We'll come back. We'll throw a bunch of stories at you, the stuff we could have gotten to, and we just didn't this hour. So here you go. More to go. It's Unrivaled, 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.